scriptures to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We'll be looking at this. The title of this message is A Mindset, A Mission Mindset. I was already to say a mindset of mission. Same thing. A mission mindset. A mission mindset. Romans 15, and we'll be looking at verses 14 through probably 22 instead of 24. Romans 14, 22, 14 through 22. Let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. Romans 15, 14 through 21 is what we'll go through this morning. The Word of God says this: Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and to those who have not heard shall understand. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a few moments, God, that you'll be glorified through the preaching of your word. Hide me behind the cross, and may your word go forth, that you might be glorified, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As we're getting to the end of this great book, we need to consider the man that God used, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the man that God used, Paul, that penned these inspired verses. And just his heart, we'll see his heart, really. We saw it at the first in chapter 1 when he says, in 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we saw his heart come out. We've seen it all through his word. Studied this great book. We've been in it now almost 2 years. And God, what a great thing that we've learned and gleaned from just getting to see the whole counsel of God's word through Romans. And so we need to think about this Paul's heart, his mindset, and we'll see that over the next couple Sundays, that we'll see it really come out as we get to the end of this great book. But he had this mindset, mission mindset. You say, what is a mission mindset? It's a heart that wants to share the gospel everywhere that it is. It's a heart that wants to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we'll see that, man, as followers of Christ, we should have that same mindset. I'm going to tell you, we should have the same mindset to reach the world with the gospel. If we believed, if I had everybody say amen, that we believe that Jesus is the only way and there's no other way to heaven except through his name, we'd all say, yeah, praise God. But how much do we believe it in that we live it and we share it every day, wherever we are? When you go out this door, if you've ever looked over the top of it as you go out today, you're entering what? Your mission field. A mission mindset. When we leave this building, do we look for opportunities? And we'll think about that. Listen, I want you to know this morning, we'll try not to get emotional when I talk about this, because it breaks my heart. 3.7 billion, with a B, people on this earth that have never heard the name of Christ. 3.7 billion. We'll talk about that as we get into this. That should scar us, though. It should scar your heart. Why? It should mark us. Because we think, you know, 3.7 billion, how in the world, and the technologies and all the things that we have, guess what? Most of the world don't have these technologies, where this is the blessings of God that we're spoiled on, by the way. But it should scar our heart, because that's 3.7 billion lost people. And we'll talk about that. Whose responsibility is it to get the word to them? Ours, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I want us to think and examine as we look at Paul's mission mindset this morning and see four truths that come out of these verses, that having that heart, it's a heart like Jesus, but a mindset like Jesus. And so I want us to think about people with a mission mindset. We should all have a mission mindset if we're children of God. What should be some of that, some of the truths of that mindset? I'm glad you asked me. First, I want you to see that people with a mission mindset keep their focus on the most important thing. Look at verses 14 and 15. The Word of God says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God." Paul's telling him, you know what? He's getting to the end. He's talked about the Gentiles and Jews and what we're talking about coming together and how the not focusing on non-essentials. We preached about that at last since chapter 14. And so he's talking about how we're to come in unity and Jew and Gentile and different peoples coming together with one focus. And then he gets to here and he's saying this mission mindset that should be in all of God's people, then it focuses on the main thing. It keeps the main thing important. It focuses on the most important thing. Because Paul's saying, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they had this church at Rome that he had written to. He had never been there, by the way. He's never even visited. He did not plant this church. He wants to get there. We'll see as we get towards the end. He wants to come visit them because they're brothers and sisters in Christ. But he's never been there, but he's heard these good things about them. They had lived good lives. They had good theology. Paul, and he's saying, look at what he says, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. What a great statement. If that it was going on in all our churches, what a testimony to the seriousness of the people of God. Especially that one, the last statement, able to admonish one another. That's being so much discipleship. That's being living life together that, listen, if I see something in your life that I don't think lines up with this word, I have the freedom to come and say, "Brother, let me ask you about this." That's people that are serious about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to do that in my life. I want you to love me enough to do that. Come and talk to me and care. Man, it's admonishing. It's teaching one another. It's living life. And look what he says in verse 15. He says, he's writing to remind them. They're doing these things. He's already admitted that they're doing these things. The truth of the matter, no, let's be honest this morning. I hope most of you know this word. I hope you've read it and read through Romans and you understand the God's word. And I pray that you're trying to live it out, the truths of God's word. And you say, "Well, why come here and listen to some redneck every Sunday? Why?" Because God told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves, but he also, we have to be reminded constantly. Are we doing not? I don't know about you, but I was telling somebody this morning, Ted asked me this morning, he said, "Are you mad? Where are you at, Ted?" I said, "What do you mean, Ted?" He said, "You didn't make the coffee this morning." Listen, I do that every Sunday morning. You know what? I didn't even think about it this morning. It didn't even enter my mind. Duh! You see? I mean, seriously. It didn't even enter my mind. I was just joking, but listen. It didn't even enter my mind. Why? I forget. Even though I do it every Sunday, I don't even forget. Is anybody else like that, or is it just me? Can anybody say amen? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I forget. That shouldn't be right. I should be wiser. It should be more think tank up there, right? They said we're just using a little fraction of our brain. My goodness, as I got older, you'd think I'd use more of it. I think it's getting littler and littler. It's like a pea or something. Paul's reminding them. He's saying that. He said, verse 15, you're doing these great things, but I'm writing to remind you of these things. To be constantly reminded. And we, as God's people, we need it. He says, I'm reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Paul knew that the greatest enemy, the greatest enemy of good. Do you understand what the greatest enemy of good is this morning? Our best is good. Our greatest enemy of the best that we can do for God is good. You say, what are you talking about? We can be doing a lot of good things as a church. Busy, growing, giving, all these things, a healthy church, but that could be just good and missing out on the best. What is the best? It's people that are on fire for God. is people that love Jesus enough that it makes a difference in their life and they go out and they spread the gospel. Basil prayed this morning that people should be able to see us in the prayer room. People should be able to see Jesus in us and have a desire for what it is that we have. That's the best that we do. We keep a mission mindset. We can be involved in a lot of good things. Listen to this. There are 11,489 people groups within the 7.3 billion people that are populated the earth. 6,800 of them are unreached people groups. That's roughly, like we said before, 3.7 billion people. Please listen to this. That are born, live, and die, and never hear a gospel presentation. So that's people that are born, live, and die, and go to hell without a gospel presentation. I had a woman yesterday, one of my friends, I was at a family reunion, and she said, oh, God would never, that's just not fair. We've already read at Romans, did we not, 1 and 2, when Paul said they're without excuse. Without Jesus, they're lost. Period. Does that not do something to your heart? 3.7 billion that hadn't heard the name of Jesus that are lost without Him? God help us in our complacency. God help us in our convenience, our comfort. All these things that we have, somebody said, what a blessing we are. I said, I'm not so sure they're not a curse. I'm not so sure, seriously. It gets our grip in us and we forget about what the main thing. Are these good things? These are all good things, but what's the best? The best is that we use them to share the gospel, to reach the world. That mission mindset. We are to do good things, but we are to make our focus the main thing, the most important thing. People with a mission mindset focus on the most important thing, but also they see this mission as worship unto the Lord. Look at what verse 16 says. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The missions and theology must be kept together. You can't have one without the other. And we see that. Think about Jesus. Jesus was the greatest theologian that ever lived, but He's also the greatest missionary. Our theology should drive our missions. If we understand that this word says Jesus is the only way, we should be driven to take it around the world and be a part of it. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But right behind Jesus is Apostle Paul. Think about this is the man that wrote Romans. Man, what a book that we've studied and learned and his theology in the depth. But you know what? His focus was taking the gospel. Not just learning in the depths of the doctrine and theology, which we should do, but it's theology that's driving us to make the main thing the main thing. Missions, he saw missions as worship. It's an offering of ourselves. Remember what he said in 12, 1 and 2, that we offer ourselves as what? Living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God, which is our reasonable service, in some translation, which is our reasonable worship. Our worship is that we offer ourselves to God every day. That means when you get up tomorrow morning, go to work. Oh, dear Lord, it's Monday again. That job is your mission field. That job is where God's placed you to share, to read that light. That's your mission field, folks. And so it gets us up in the morning a little differently, don't it? And Paul's saying, man, it's worship. Missions is worship. He said, and we know that we're a living sacrifice, but he says, Paul says that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, or that word can be translated nations. Paul had a heart ethnic to the nations. If the Gentiles, that was anybody that wasn't a Jew. Guess what? I ain't here today. I'm looking at a whole room full of them. He's talking about us. Aren't you glad somebody took it serious? Aren't you? I don't know about you, but I sure am. aren't you glad that somebody took the gospel serious and cared enough about you to maybe share it with you or grandma or grandpa or mom and dad or a friend? And the reason that we come to know Christ, we look back at those markers at people that cared enough. I've shared my own testimony and the guys that I worked with at Dana Corporation, and I'll never forget a guy that he was relentless to share the gospel with me. I cussed him. Told him I didn't want to hear that mess. And when I came to know Jesus, I had to go back and say, thank you. Thank you for caring enough about me. The rest of these yahoos didn't care. They were just my friends. We wanted to party. Wanted to go out and do whatever. But you cared enough, even getting a cussing, that you would care enough to share the gospel with me. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Aren't you glad somebody cared? And Paul's saying, man, it's worship unto God when we share. Please don't miss the Trinity in those verses, where he says, minister of Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of God and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Doctrine of the Trinity is all through the Scripture if we don't miss it. He said, man, this ministering the gospel of God was that the offering of the nations of the Gentile might be acceptable, sanctified under the Holy Spirit. Man, that's priest language. Paul saw himself as that priest offering unto God. What was he offering? The souls of the Gentiles, the souls of the nation. That God, I can worship you by what? Bringing these Gentiles, these nations in and telling them about the gospel and seeing them transformed and become worshipers themselves. Man, he realized that that was the great thing. John Stott, he says the highest of the missionary motives is zeal for the glory of God. It's zeal for what? For God's glory. That's our motivation, that people will become worshipers because they're worshiping something, okay? A lot of them worshiping themselves, humanism. But when we see the gospel take hold of their lives, and God gets a hold of them, and they become worshipers of the Almighty God. And what a motivation. And Paul saw that because he had a mission mindset. He saw missions as a worship unto the Lord. World missions is God's work. And it's our worship. It's worship unto Him. People with a mission mindset focus on the most important things, and they see its fulfillment as worship, but also, look, they're Christ-centered. Look at verses 17 through 19. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word, in deed, to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul is Christ-centered. Mission people with mission mindset are Christ-centered. It's all about Christ. It's not about bringing glory to a man, to a group, to a church. It's about glory to Christ and God and a kingdom. Man, we have so much competition. How crazy is that? I want God to break out somewhere. Does anybody hear me this morning? I want Jesus to get a hold of a church. If it's right up here on top of the hill at the Methodist Church, pray, Jesus, break out somewhere. Shake us out of our lethargy. Shake us out of our sleepiness. Wake us up. Woo! Wake us up. We're in competition. We think it's a competition. Dear Lord, what are we competing against? I want to see Jesus grow His kingdom. Care if it's here, across the street, down the road, in another state, around the world. Please, Jesus, grow your kingdom. Why? 3.7 billion people lost, and I'm worried about somebody else and God getting a hold of somebody else. I should be so thankful, praising Him for it, to see Him do His work. Paul, man, he says, Paul, I love in Galatians 6:14, said, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul had nothing to boast about, did he? What am I all boast about? All these churches I planted? Hey, he knew what he was. What was he? A persecutor of the church. God saved him, made him a great man of God. How in the world can I stand up here? How in the world can a man stand up here? Like I said, I've already called myself redneck, right? I'm really a hillbilly. The difference between redneck and hillbilly is elevation, okay? I'm really a hillbilly. If you knew where God had brought me from, gosh, if you knew, I'm amazed. How in the world could I ever stand up here and give any glory to anything but Jesus Christ? He can use anybody. Listen, I don't care what you've been through or your background or what you've done. In Jesus' name, you can be forgiven. And God can use you to reach the world, your world, for His gospel's sake. Don't let Satan tell you you're useless. Don't let him tell you you've got nothing to offer. Just get right with Jesus. Let Jesus get a hold of your heart and go for the ride of your life. Woo, yeah. Let him get a hold of you. He'll get us a little bit excited. We won't just sit around, oh, praise God. Man, we're just saved. Saved, sanctified unto Jesus Christ. Man, people that are living a new life in Christ. Paul said in the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. Think about the nearer we get to Christ, the nearer His mission will be on our hearts. The more we grow in Christ, the more we'll have a heart to reach others with the gospel. Paul said he'd seen Christ do mighty signs and wonders, but he realized, you know what, it wasn't him. We'd be honest. If I could heal people like some people say, bring them up here. Oh, be healed. All those things. Why ain't I down here walking St. Joseph's, the little bald-headed kids? Why ain't I walking the aisles, touching their life, healing them in Jesus' name? It's not a show, folks. It's not God did. His power is not to show and display and make all these people come up and cheer and all these things. Can God do that? Yes, He can. But listen, it's not about a man. It's about a Savior. And He can save and He can heal anybody. I'm praying Thomas Ray with his ALS. Unless God touches him, that's a death sentence. Can God deliver him? You better believe He can. And I'm praying that He will, if that's His plan. It's all in His hands. But he saw think what Paul had seen, the signs and wonders. Man, he was in Philippi when the jail was shaking, when they sang him and Silas beaten to death. But all they could do is sing, man. Can you imagine being thrust in the inner prison? What would you be doing? Well, dear Lord, I'm living for Jesus, and hey, look where I'm at now. No, you know what? They started singing the old songs of Zion. And the angel of the Lord came down and shook that prison till the doors were open. You know what's the amazing thing? Is them old prisoners, you don't think, and when the doors usually open, what's the prisoners usually doing? They're usually running. That's their opportunity to get out of that jail cell. But guess what? The old prison guard, he thought that he had lost all of them. He gets out his sword and he's going to take his own life. What did Paul say? Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Something had shook that prison, all right. Something had got a hold. When the presence of God shows up and shakes a place, something changes. And that old boy come in with the lantern and said, what must I do to be saved? Before the end of the night, he was cleaning the very wounds that he had applied. That's salvation, man. Paul had seen mighty signs and wonders. He never took the things of God into his own hands. Never take the things of God in your hand. So many people, they'll have a position or they'll be doing something, and they take a hold of it, think it's theirs, and something changes. Oh, Lord! That's a real indicator of if you took it in your hands or not, if you get upset. Here's the deal. If God can do a better work, put the man up here. Put him up here, God. Why? Because it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. And we hold the things of God with not with clenched hands, but with open hands. Because why? We place the glory back to Him. Everything's about His glory. Where it belongs, by the way. Christ-centered people give God the glory for what He does. They don't take the glory for anything. We see their lives as a mission. Hey, look what he's constantly pointing people to Jesus. Everywhere Paul had been, Jerusalem to Illyricum. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, which, by the way, that's about a 20-year stint, and he didn't have no car, no Volvo to get in, right, or no Chevrolet, if you want to go top of the line. I had to get back at you, Donnie, for Sunday school today. Listen, 1,400 miles by foot. It's modern-day Yugoslavia, Illyricum is. Think about, he covered that area walking and preaching the gospel. That's a life that's sold out. He's not just telling us to do something that he's not already lived and suffered. All the things that he went through, and we'll look at that next week. Man, but he's saying, I'm preaching this, I'm doing this, and we'll see that he had that heart. I want to come meet you, brothers and sisters in Christ, because I'm headed somewhere else. He never let the grass grow. He was always moving for Christ and looking for opportunities, which leads us to the last truth. People on mission, with a mission mindset, they focus on the most important thing. They see the fulfillment as worship. They're Christ-centered, but lastly, they never lose sight of the gospel. Look at verses 20 through 21. And so I made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Isaiah 52, that's what he's quoting there. Paul was a pioneer missionary. Do you understand? I realize his heart was, as he's went around for 20 years, to go to these places, that these people groups, these places that had never heard the name of Jesus. That was his heart. He was set on taking people to places, taking the gospel to places that had never heard. He says, lest I build on another man's foundation. Now, he's quite clear in his teaching earlier through the book, this same book, that Christ calls different people to different tasks and endows them with different gifts, and he equips different people to do different things. His own calling and gift as an apostle to the Gentiles was for pioneer missions. That was the evangelizing of the Gentile world, the nations. Therefore, leaving others, he realized others to pastoral care, discipleship, all these things. I'm not saying every one of us here is a pioneer missionary. But I'm saying everybody here that has the gospel of Jesus Christ and has the Holy Spirit, you're a missionary. Okay? And we should have a heart, though, for making sure that the gospel gets around the world. We should have a heart. Why? It's a heart like Christ. It's a heart like Paul. Don't let any good or any baggage keep you from sharing the gospel. The gospel is, listen to this. You ready? You've heard me say this. I'm reminding us again, the gospel is what the world needs. The gospel. It's Jesus. In my marriage, look, my love is lost and it just don't feel right no more. Jesus. Get Jesus the center of it, and you'll quit thinking about what you're not getting, and you'll start giving. My kids are just wild children. I can't reach them. What's the answer? Jesus. Get Jesus the center of your life. You say, well, I can't go back. Listen, don't go back. Go forward in Jesus' name. Teach them what's important. You say, but the world, I turn on the news, things are falling apart, wars and rumors of war. What's the answer? Jesus. The gospel touches men in life. It changes men and women. Changes our world, for Christ's sake. He said, share the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that God made perfect. Pay it perfect. But because of sin, it's broken. Now, can anybody attest that we live in a broken world? No. And here's what the deal. The world, and what a lot of us maybe in our past, or even now, you might be in this, you're trying to fix the brokenness, and you'll turn to relationships, you'll turn to careers, hobbies, drugs, alcohol, and you're trying your best to fix it that way, and you cannot fix that brokenness. It's broken because of sin. Jesus Christ sent his... God sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into a broken world to fix it. The only way this world can be fixed is through Christ. He sent him, the perfect God-man, only been one, 100% God, 100% man, hypostatic union of Christ. Why did he have to be God? Because nothing else would atone for our sins. There's no perfect man that's ever walked but one. And that perfect sacrifice, it was given on a hill called Calvary. On a cross, gave his life. Died, was buried, third day arose. That if we, broken people, understand that we can't fix ourselves, that we're trying our best, when we understand what Jesus did in this broken world, we repent and turn to him, we find salvation and meaning and purpose and new life. That is the gospel. That's what the world needs to hear. They're searching out there, groping around in the darkness, trying to find answers. You hold the light of the gospel everywhere you go. Shine, brothers and sisters in Christ. Share the light. Share the gospel wherever we go. I love Danny Aiken, the president at Southeastern Seminary, summed it up this way. Listen to what he said. God on the cross killed his son so that he would not have to kill you. Man, woo! God killed Christ. He died our death. You say, well, Dave, you're not going to live forever. This old body, if God tarries, is going to die, okay? I hope it don't take you by surprise too either that we're one out of one of us is going to die in this room, okay, in 100 years. Right? Let's give it some time frame. He didn't save me from this physical death. It's a constant reminder of this age and that memory loss and all those things. Constant reminder of sin. And this old body's wasting away. But listen, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, February 28, 1990, woo, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And he changed me. And he made me into a creature, an eternal creature from that time on. And listen, no matter what I face, even death, I have victory. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for me. And I stand forgiven before God the Father because Jesus died in my place. And that Spirit was placed upon me. The blood of Christ is what God the Father sees. And I'm forgiven. Woo! Forgiven. That's sins of the past. That's sins of the present. That's sins of the future. Man, if you get a hold of that, it'll light your fire. Am I the only one getting any good out of this? Jesus. Man. But I'll finish up. We're out of time. Sandy and I have had the privilege of traveling around the world. How in the world God ever did that through us? We've seen and met so many people around the world. Africa, India, you name it, we've been there and we've seen these people. I want you to know something that we learned pretty quickly on. We go into these slums or these places that I can't even describe, the kids and the conditions and places that people live. It'll change your heart or break your heart. But I had to learn that their greatest need was Christ. It doesn't mean I didn't meet their physical needs, which I think that's very important, but their greatest need was Christ. And you know what you'd do right in the middle of that? You'd meet a brother or sister that had Jesus. And they would have the joy of God all over them. And you just wanted to, what you found yourself is wanting just to get close to them, get a little bit of that goody off of them, okay? They just had the joy of the Lord all over them. Sam, you've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Just joy of God all over them. Listen, and I've learned a principle from that. The person who has Jesus plus nothing has everything. You don't have to have things to be joyful. But the opposite of that is true also. The person who has everything but does not have Jesus has nothing. It's Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Applications, and we'll be done. First, Linda, come and play. Do you have a heart for the nations? Come on. 3.7 billion. I'm talking about that should motivate us to maybe some of it. There might be some pioneer missionaries in here. I'm praying that God raises up your kids. That's right. You say, I have a heart. What if they send your kids, mom and dad? What if they send your grandyoungins, mom, grandma and grandpa? You got to be serious. I pray God raises up a whole generation of pioneer missionaries. Take the gospel to 3.7 billion people. Look, when we have Lottie Moon, when we give for our Christmas offering, man, we should be up front. That goes all the international missions to reach these people for Christ. But we should also go ourselves, take trips, and look for the opportunity to plant that seed. Do you have a heart for the nations? Number two, is your life Christ-centered? What are you saying, preacher? Is Christ the center of your life? Is He the orientation everywhere you go, no matter where you're at, no matter what you do, school, work, play? He's the center. He's the Christ-centered. Lastly, how will you share the gospel this week? If you don't have a plan, promise you, you ain't going to do it. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. But if you're intentional, listen, you got a little card back there. Those cards, that's a great opportunity. A starter. Take those cards. Look for those opportunities. Ask God to bring somebody into your life that I can share the gospel with this week. If you ask Him and you say, let me be intentional, and you look, He'll answer that prayer. You don't have to wonder if it's in the will of God or not. He said, share the gospel. What's God saying to you? Let's stand on our feet. I'm not going to tarry real long, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're lost today and the Holy Spirit didn't speak to you, you better start praying. Because the Holy Spirit's in here and He's working today. You say, how can you say that? I feel Him. And through the preaching of God's Word, it has nothing to do with my feeling, but the promise of God's Word that says, if you'll turn to me, I'll nowise cast you out. No matter what's in your life, if you've never received Christ, you can lay it down at His feet and say, today, I'm receiving Jesus as my personal Savior. And you know what He'll do? He'll save you. He'll save you. Or maybe you've got a burden. Maybe you realize, you know what? This old life is just all about me. I can look at my bills. I can look at everything I do. And it's just all about me. And people are dying and going to hell every day. And I don't even give it a thought. Don't even think, but don't even pray about it. God help us. Is your life Christ-centered? Let's close our eyes before the Lord. What's God saying to you? This altar's open to come and pray unto the Holy God. Some people are coming already. What about you? You going to sit? What about you? Do you know Jesus? Today could be the day of your salvation. He'll make you full of joy. He'll get everything straightened out. What's Jesus saying to you? Are you Christ-centered? Do you share the gospel? Listen, you can't have one without the other. You can't have Christ and never think about sharing the gospel. That something's wrong with your theology if that's how you are. You better get that straightened out. You've got people still coming. What about you? What about you? Most important thing is this time that we spend with the Lord. What's the Lord saying to you? You can be saved right at your seat. If you say, oh, I don't know about going. Listen, you can ask right now. You can say, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I have never received your payment for my sin, and I'm asking you to save me right now for your glory. You can do that. Pray that prayer, and you can receive Christ as your Savior, but you're going to let somebody, you're going to make somebody know that. You're going to let somebody know that happen. It's not about rocking an aisle. It's not about going through a routine. It's coming to faith in Christ. And if you do that, you're going to let people know. What's God saying to you? Just another minute. Where He leads, I will follow. Is that your prayer? I will follow. Follow Him. Amen. Listen, look here. I love you. Any way I can help you on your spiritual journey, if you've received Christ, let somebody know that, okay? If you don't let people know it, I question whether it ever happened. But also, if you receive Christ, you're going to look for ways to share the gospel. You're going to look for ways to make a difference in the world. Whatever God does in your life. You guys are getting ready to enter your mission field. Keep that in the center of your mind. We love you. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Please pray for us.